Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. Those are words that are recorded in Matthew 7:21. They are words of Jesus prior to speaking about the seed that was falling on shallow ground. It quickly sprang up, but it had no root, and so it failed. And the seed that falls among thorns. The thorns choke those seeds by worry and wealth. We live in a church culture that seems to ignore these words. A culture that rejects the hard sayings of Jesus. You may remember that Jesus was talking to people who were standing on a hill, sitting, standing, they were there, and he was talking to them, and he gave them the hard sayings, and at the end of it, many of the crowd dissipated. They left, so much so that Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you leave me too?" It seems that the modern church too often has said, yes, we'll leave you too. A disciple is one that follows, not one that runs away. The first call of Jesus was to people not to believe in him, but to follow him. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. I know that your presence is here. I know that you are here, Holy Spirit. I feel your presence. Father, it is my prayer that everyone here should feel that same sense of your presence before they leave this place. And for that reason, I ask you to cast my words out, that my words can never begin to translate or in any way express the love you have for us, your saving grace, your love for us, it goes beyond the imagination of a mere man. But we ask you to speak to us directly. There are some here who don't want to hear. And there are some here who have not heard before. And there are some here who perhaps have not heard clearly. But Father, today I ask that you speak so that we all hear in our own language, your language of love. May we all sense your presence here today, and may we bow before it and allow you to illuminate for us what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. In whose name I pray. Amen. As you look at Matthew 28, and we'll look at verse 19 and 20. You've heard these verses before. I pray that they sink into you today. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The word disciple was in common use in the days of Jesus. It literally means someone that follows someone else, someplace else. We try to follow Jesus. The disciples of Jesus have always tried to follow Jesus. I once preached at a Disciple of Christ church. I told everybody there that they had stolen the two best names, Disciples of Christ. Disciples of Christ. What a wonderful term that is. What a wonderful epithet it is to say of someone who's passed that they were a disciple of Jesus Christ. But Jesus warned his disciples that they were not to be greater than their master, they were to be like their master. You know, that's a problem we have today too, isn't it? We try to be more than our master was, and we can't be. We can never be God. We cannot forgive sins. Jesus has already done that. Jesus dealt with the challenges that each of us face, the charges against your name and mine. Imagine, if you will, for just a moment, that every sin you have ever committed against someone else or against God has been written down on a slip of paper and put into a filing folder. Think about that. Mine would be this big. So big, no matter how small the pieces of paper were that each of my sins were written on, that they would be eclipsed by the volume of sins in my own life. God has taken all of those sins and refiled them under Jesus Christ. Jesus died not just for sin in general, but for your sin and my sin in particular. Each of us knows something about the weight of sin. Jesus bore those sins on the cross. He took our overstuffed file and nailed it to the cross. Look at 1 Colossians, if you would. 2 Colossians, excuse me, chapter 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us and was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He has done that. When I came to Jesus, God emptied all the damning slips of paper in my file into the file marked Christ. And on the last day, when God opens that file, it will be empty. Not because I have not continued to offend Him, but because my sins have been refiled under Christ. The God who on Mount Sinai gave the law and told us that there had to be a sacrifice of blood for the reconciliation of sins, took human flesh and shed His own blood to make reconciliation between man and God. Then on the third day, he arose again. He ascended into heaven. And he bids us to follow him there. He wants us to follow him. And when you follow Jesus, he will pour out his Holy Spirit into your life. And you will know a new purpose for your life. You will know a new direction, a new power that you have never known before. That Holy Spirit will live in your soul and give you the life that God intended you to have. God will give you spiritual insight. You know, for many, they have never seen the glory of God. Many in the church have never seen the glory of God. What a sad thing. You can't follow if there's no light to follow. You still live in darkness because you have not seen the brightness of the glory of God. For many, learning about the Bible is like studying the French Revolution in school. You learned about the guillotine, and that's about all you learned. You learned maybe about Marie Antoinette saying, "Let them eat cake." But you didn't learn about the French Revolution in school. For many, offering a prayer to God is like leaving on a message on a disconnected line. And that's why obedience becomes a joyous chore, something to be put off or avoided if possible. They just don't see the glory of God. So pray. Pray that you see the glory of God. You know, that's what Moses did. Moses came to a critical point in his life, a crisis point. And he thought he just couldn't go on with all these stiff-necked, stubborn people unless he had more of God. He wanted more of the presence of God. And so he prayed. He said, "God, show me your glory. I can't go on without it." And God showed him. We have not, for we ask not. God will show us his glory. The glory of the only begotten Son of God. And don't rest until God opens your eyes and your heart to see his glory. When you see his glory, you'll follow him. Because you'll have light to follow him. The first priority of the church is to point people in this world we live in to the glory that is in Jesus Christ. That is our job. That is what the Holy Spirit's job is too, is to point toward Jesus. He's the one. That's what John the Baptist did. He said, "Look, see, there is the Lamb of God who brings salvation." That's what each of us needs to do. We need to be actively working in the ministry of showing God's love and God's glory to the world. That's what we need to be doing. That's where discipleship begins. Being disciples means actively working in the ministry of Jesus Christ. As Paul put it, we're co-workers, we're fellow workers with Christ. We are to get the word out. That's the reason for the church. He's to dwell in the church and to give you the power and the boldness to do his will. Many will call on me and say, "Lord, Lord." They'll have a kind of religion, but they'll deny the power thereof. "Lord, Lord" will not get you into heaven. For him only who does the will of the Father gets into heaven. And we operate in that power of that Spirit, and people see our good works and they give credit to God because they know we couldn't do it. We're just frail. We're just humble human beings. They have to give credit to God because they see His reflected glory in what we've done. When you love somebody, that's what you do. Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them, and that is certainly true of the disciples of Christ. By their fruits you shall know them. Not by what they say or how they dress up for church or any of those tangible, observational things that we see. Not by politicians saying, oh, I believe in God. No, not it. By their works you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. You shall know that they are the ones. The men, women, boys, and girls who have followed Christ over the centuries have changed the world. Some of those disciples noticed that Jesus healed the sick. Wherever He went, He healed the sick. And they have heard Him say, come, follow Me. And so they, knowing that He has healed the sick, have followed Him to create free hospitals and clinics, and doctors go all around the world in His name, touching people and bringing the healing of God to them. Some people have noticed that Jesus said, bring the little children unto Me. And they have heard Him say, follow Me. And they've gone on to create schools in Jesus' name, orphanages in Jesus' name, because they knew it was the will of Christ that it be done. Some have noted that Jesus fed the hungry. And they've heard, follow Me. And they've gone about trying to feed the hungry through feeding centers and through all kinds of food drives and giving money to people and doing things. They have done it, and so the world is better fed than it ever has been, and yet there are so many dying of hunger. Because Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. But it doesn't mean that we stop. There are fruits. There are fruits to our Thanksgiving meal. We served, 2,000 people this last year. The greatest number we ever had was 2,483 people. But it doesn't matter. What matters is the number of people who accept Jesus Christ during that event has really never wavered. We average about 200 every single year we've done it. 200 people came for bread, came for turkey, came for the fixing, and receive the bread of life sitting where you're sitting now. People have heard the voice of God. Now, when we do what we do, when we hear the voice of God and we follow Jesus, some will say, well, I'm fed. It's all about me after all. Or I've gotten a good Christian education because they formed a school and I was admitted. Or I got physically better because I went to a hospital that these doctors named St. Jude or something hospital. And they will never see because blind eyes never see. But some eyes, like the seeds that are planted by the sower, will see the glory of God. Every time we plant seed, it doesn't become a great apple tree. But if we plant enough seeds, then enough people will see the glory of God. That's the way we show our love of Christ to the world. And yes, there is a cost. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. There is a cost. Jesus did not hide the cost of discipleship in the fine print of His invitation.
He said, he who would follow me must first deny himself. Deny himself. Pick up his cross and follow me.
There is a cost to discipleship. He told his own disciples, he said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. He said, if they hate you, remember this, they've hated me first. People always do reject and hate Jesus Christ because he says things that, quite frankly, our culture just doesn't want to hear. The world will not tolerate the exclusivity of Christianity, the exclusive claims of Jesus. It has a definite opinion about Jesus, but it is not a divine opinion. And that same opinion is shared amongst those who follow him. They may have a view about you because they have a view about Jesus. The world hated me first. Jesus claimed that we cannot know God without him. Boy, that just really shocks people. That insults our pride. He claims that he alone must call us or we can't even come to God. That emasculates our strength. We feel like I ought to be able to get there on my own. I ought to be able to get there through other religions. I ought to be able to get there some other way. That's what he tells us. Jesus tells us that he tells us right from wrong. And that interferes with our freedom, our sense of freedom. Oh, that's such a precious thing. And yet we enslave ourselves to alcohol and tobacco and all kinds of drugs and stuff and lifestyles. We enslave ourselves, but we don't want Jesus to tell us right from wrong. That insults our freedom. That's why they crucified him. That's why our culture would crucify him again today if it could. Oh, maybe not with nails and wood. But imagine Jesus going on to a talk show. And imagine him saying, I am the way, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Can you imagine? That flies in the face of everything that the talk show host would have you believe. Because they spill out an Epicurean philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. And you may die. But without Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by me. It seems like too many churches have turned away and recant that claim. They don't want to say they're exclusive. Oh, no. No, they want Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and everybody else to feel fine. We all go to heaven. Jesus must have been lying to us. That is what the devil tells us. That is what the world tells us. That is what our culture tells us. It's simply not true. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. And I don't care how many times you call him Lord. If you don't do the will of his Father, you're not getting into the kingdom either. The world hates Jesus. Has no room for him at the end. You know, Jesus said, there is no room for me in the end. Foxes have holes, he said. I don't have a place to put my head. And no place in your life for Jesus? Is there a place there for him? Is he going to be your Savior, your Lord, your all in all, your everything? Or is he going to be nothing to you? Because that's the choice each of us has to make. You're either all in or you're all out.
All in for Jesus means doing the things that He wants you to do. You have to read His Word to know what that is. He's not a politically correct vision that the world has. And the disciples of Jesus don't have it either. If you take up a cross, you'll be on a collision course with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You'll be out of step with the world. You'll have a burden, but His burden is light, He says. You'll carry it on the backs of you everywhere you go, unashamedly. You carry His cross because your sins have been filed under that cross. But only those who can see His glory will follow Him. Only those who see the glory of Jesus will follow Him. The cross was not His final destination. But the task for each of us is to follow Him wherever He leads. And that means when Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be as well." Wherever He is. In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation in 14:4, it says they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. I would add this, whatever the cost, wherever He goes, that's where you need to be. There is no safer place in all the world than to be with Him, period. Wherever He is, that's where I want to be. Wherever it costs, that's what I want to pay. Because I can never buy what He has given so freely. Nothing that I possess is worthy except possessing Him in me. And that is the greatest treasure that any of us shall ever carry. To carry the Holy Spirit of God in a vessel this corrupted and this old and this shattered, but to know that that Spirit can break out at any time and lift the dead from life again. To know that He can lay His hands on anyone who's sick and cast out the demons and tell them to be well, and they will walk and they will see. To know that He loves us with a love that is beyond our imaginings. That is what it means to be His disciple. To love Him enough to let Him in so that you'll be more like Him. Many of us have never seen the glory of God. And we've seen it through a glass, but darkly. We've seen it only a little bit. A glimpse of His glory. Ask God to show you His glory. Ask Him. Ask Him right now. Show me Your glory. Ask Him. He said, "Anything you ask in My name, it shall be done." Moses asked. And He saw. You can ask, and you will see.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.